and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of My Hairiest Adventure by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. The cover shows a kid with some monkey ears hanging out, and he's got giant sideburns and curly hair. He looks like Hyde from That 70s Show as a little kid. The back of his palms are hairy from presumably beating off, and it says, "It keeps growing and growing and growing." So, as someone with some Italian heritage, this is just normal puberty, right? Maybe this is just my own adventure. Anyway, I am currently drinking a Steel Reserve, which I've been thinking about Steel Reserve lately, and I feel like they should give me some free booze or some free merch, because I talk about it on this podcast all the fucking time. I talk about it in the old Crippling Alcoholism. I talk about it in other podcasts. I feel like every month I expose a couple thousand people to it. I have to have moved, like, at least hundreds of units. And I have a fucking Steel Reserve tattoo, for fuck's sake. My point is, they need to hook me up. Or some other booze company does and needs to step up. I don't want money. I just want free booze. And I just want to advertise it everywhere I am. That being said, let's start the book. All right. My Hairiest Adventure by R.L. Stine. I should have went to chapter one initially, but that doesn't matter because I'm at chapter one. Why were there so many stray dogs in my town? I don't know, maybe you live in Mexico. Let's read on. And why did they always choose me to chase? Did they wait quietly in the woods, watching people go by? Then, did they whisper to each other? See that blonde kid? That's Larry Boyd. Let's go get him. That's not what dogs do. I know. I'm looking at one right now. He just kind of protects his food from cats. I ran as fast as I could, but it's so hard to run when you're carrying a guitar case. It kept banging against my leg. I hope that the guitar case is full of cat toys and whatnot, like that horrible, horrible reality show that isn't nearly as good as the sweet, sweet reality show that is My Big Fat American Gypsy Wedding. That being said, I kept sliding in the snow. The dogs were catching up. They were howling and barking, trying to scare me to death. Well, it's working, guys, I thought. I'm scared. I'm plenty scared. Sorry, I had headphones on because I needed to sing along with the intro, because clearly that was important. Dogs are supposed to sense when you're afraid of them, but I'm not usually afraid of dogs. In fact, I really like dogs. I'm only afraid of dogs when there's a pack of them, running furiously at me, drooling hungrily, eager to tear me to tiny shreds, like now. Scrambling over the snow, I nearly toppled into a drift up to my knees. Sorry, I was stumbling because I don't understand snow words because I'm from Southern California and snow's weird and confusing me. I glanced back. The dogs were gaining on me. It isn't fair, I thought bitterly. They have four legs, and I only have two. The big black dog with the evil black eyes was leading the pack, as usual. He had his lips pulled back in an angry snarl. He was close enough that I could see his sharp, pointy teeth. Go home, Roger. Go home. It doesn't really say Roger, but I was doing a sister-sister reference. God, everyone loves sister-sister. Nobody loves sister-sister. Which brings it back to what I said before, that he looked like Hyde, and Hyde's real dad on That 70s Show was the dad on sister-sister. Oh, never knew how much I missed you. Bad dogs, go home. Franklin, you're a good dog. You can stay home. Why was I yelling at them? They didn't even have homes. Go home! Go home! My boots slipped in the snow, and the weight of my guitar case nearly pulled me over. Somehow I staggered forward, caught my balance, and kept moving. My heart was pounding like crazy, and I felt as if I were burning up, even though it was about 12 degrees. I squinted against the bright glare of the snow. I struggled to run faster, but my leg muscles were starting to cramp. I don't stand a chance, I realized. Ow! The heavy guitar case bounced against my side. I glanced back. The dogs were leaping excitedly, making wide crisscross is across the yards, howling and yowling. That word seemed unnecessary as they scrambled after me, moving closer and closer. Go home, bad dogs, bad, go home, why me? I'm a nice guy, really. Ask anyone, they'll tell you. Larry Boyd is the nicest 12-year-old kid in town. Why did they always chase me? Was it because I kept baloney in my pockets? No, it couldn't be that. The last time I dived into a parked car and shut the door just as they pounced. But today, the dogs were too close, and the cars along the street were all snow-covered. By the time I got a car door open, the dogs would be having me for dessert. Presumably they already had dinner. I was only a half a block away from Lily's house. I could see it on the corner across the street. It was my only chance. If I could get to Lily's house, I could... No! I slipped on a small rock, hidden under the snow. The guitar case flew from my hand and hit the snow with a soft thud. I was down, face down in the snow. They've got me this time, I moaned. They've got me.
Chapter number 2.
Everything went white. It was like Hitler's wet dream. I struggled to my knees, frantically brushing snow off my face with both hands. The dogs barked hungrily. Scat! Get away! Get going! Another voice, a familiar voice. Get going, dogs! Get away! The barking grew softer. I brushed the wet snow from my eyes. Lily! I cried happily. How did you get here? She swung a heavy snow shovel at the dog's direction. Scat! Go away, go! The growls turned to low whimpers. The dogs backed up, started to retreat. The huge black dog with the black eyes lowered his head and loped slowly away. The others followed.
Why's it gotta be a black dog?
Lily! They're listening to you, I cried thankfully. I climbed slowly to my feet and brushed the snow off the front of my blue down parka. Of course, she replied, grinning. I'm tough, Larry. Real tough. Lily Vaughn doesn't exactly look tough. She's 12 like me, but she looks younger. She's short and thin and kind of cute. She has chin... Franklin, Scarlet, what are you guys doing? Scarlet, stop fucking with Franklin. Yoda, stop fucking with Scarlet. And Franklin, stop being a dick. She's short and thin and kind of cute. She has chin-length blonde hair with bangs that go straight across her forehead. The strange thing about Lily is her eyes. One is blue and one is green, like Dune's uncle. No one can really believe she has two different colors until they see them. A lot of people think Bowie had two different colored eyes, which he didn't. One of the pupils is just permanently dilated. The more you know. I brushed most of the snow off the front of my coat and the knees of my jeans. Lily handed me my guitar case. Hope it's waterproof, she muttered. I raised my eyes to the street. The dogs were barking wildly again, chasing a squirrel through several front yards. I saw you from my window? Lily said as we started toward her house. Why did they always chase after you? I shrugged. I was just asking myself the same stupid fucking question, I told her. Our boots made crunching noises in the snow. Lily led the way. I stepped in her boot prints. Ooh, like when you're following Sasquatch. We waited for a car to move past, its tires sliding on the slick road. Then we crossed the street and made our way up her driveway. How come you're late? Lily asked. I had to help my dad shovel the drive, I replied. Some snow had caught inside my hood and was trickling down the back of my neck. I shivered. I couldn't wait to get inside the house. The others were all hanging out in Lily's living room. I waved hi to Manny, Jared, and Christina. Manny was down on his knees, fiddling with his guitar amp, and made a loud squeal. Squeal! And everyone jumped. Manny is tall and skinny and kind of goofy looking, with a crooked smile and a mop of curly black hair. Jared is 12 like the rest of us, but he looks 8. He can't even buy PG-13 movie. What can you buy when you're 12 and not 8? I don't know. I'm an old man. I could buy whatever I want. I don't give a shit. Buy malt liquor every day. I got a serious problem with that one.
(Clears throat)
I don't think I've ever seen him without his black and silver Raiders cap on. Ooh, he's Todd Perry. Christina is a little chubby. She has curly, carrot-colored hair, and wears glasses with blue plastic frames. I tugged off my wet coat and hung it on a peg in the front entry. Cats, stop fighting. Oh, shit, they're actually going at it. World Star! World Star! Aw, shit, World Star! That's what I do every time, anytime anyone fights. Because I'm horribly irritating. The house felt steamy and warm. I straightened my sweatshirt and joined the others. Manny glanced up from his amp and laughed. Hey, look, Larry's hair is messed up. Somebody, take a picture. Everybody laughed. They're always teasing me about my hair. Can I help it if I have really good hair? It's dark blonde and wavy. I wear it long. Hairy Larry, Lily declared. The other three laughed and then picked up the chant. Hairy Larry, Hairy Larry, Hairy Larry. That's what it says. I made an angry face and swept my hand back through my hair, pushing it off my forehead. I could feel myself blushing. I really don't like being teased. It always makes me angry and I always blush. I guess that's why Lily and my other friends tease me so much. They tease me about my hair, about my big ears, about the fact that I'm uncircumcised, and about anything else they can think of. And I always get angry and I always blush, which makes them tease me even more. Hairy Larry, Hairy Larry, Hairy Larry. Great friends, huh? Well, actually, they are great friends. We have a lot of fun together. The five of us have a band. This week, it's called The Geeks. Last week, we called ourselves The Spirit. We changed the name a lot. I used to play in bands when I was that age. First, like, when I was like a 11 or 12, it was the Skinny Fat Guys with Chris Bauer. And then with Chris Bauer, it was Raise the Flag. And then there's like a bunch of other things. There's Kitty McFluffy Boots. And then Defamation League. And Youth Focused Marketing Group. AKA YFMG, you know what I'm saying? Alright, you don't care. This does remind me, though, when I was working at a tennis shop, my boss had a son who was, like, this age and starting his first band, which I do encourage. And I was like, oh, what's you guys' name? And he just dead serious looked me in the eye. He was, you know, a little runty kid. And he was, The Rebels. It made me very happy. Lily has a gold coin that she wears on a chain around her neck. Versace. Her grandfather gave the coin to her. He told her it's a real pirate gold. So Lily wants to call our band Pirate Gold. But I don't think that's cool enough. And Manny, Jared, and Christina agree. At least our name, The Geeks, is a lot cooler than Howie and the Shouters. That's the band who's challenging us at the big battle of the bands at school. We still can't believe that Howie Irwin named the band after himself. He's only the drummer. His stuck-up sister Marissa's the singer. Why don't you call it Marissa and the Shouters? I asked him one day after school. Because Marissa doesn't rhyme with anything, he replied. Huh? What about Marissa and the Fistas? Yeah. Huh? What does Howie rhyme with? I asked him. Zowie, he said. Then he laughed and messed up my hair. What a creep! No one likes Howie, nor do they like his stupid cunt sister. The Geeks can't wait to blow the Shouters off the stage. If only one of us played bass, Jared moaned as we tuned up. Or saxophone, or trumpet, Christina added, because she likes ska, because she's an idiot, because only idiots like ska. It doesn't say that on the page, but it should, because goddamn I hate ska. I always like, when I'm using Pandora, I like NoFX and Rancid and stuff, so I'll just get, like, upvote on that, and then it'll start creeping into ska, and then I'll be like, God damn it, Pandora, no, I don't like ska. I think we sound great, Manny said, still down on the floor, fiddling with a cord to his amp. Three guitars is a great sound, especially when we put on the fuzz tone and crank them all the way up. Christina, Manny, and I all play guitar. Lily is the singer, and Jared plays a keyboard. His keyboard has a drum synthesizer with 10 different rhythms on it, so we also have drums. Kind of. As soon as Manny got his amp working, we tried to play a Rolling Stones song. Jared couldn't find the right drum rhythm on his synthesizer, so we played without it.
I've played a lot without drums.
Old Dune used to play the bass. That's what bass sounds like. As soon as we finished, I shouted, "Let's start again!" The others all groaned. "Larry, we sounded great," Lily insisted. "We don't need to play it again." "The rhythm was way, way off," I said. "You're way off," Manny exclaimed. Dune wished he could high-five him through a book. Making a face at me, "Larry is a perfectionist," Christina said. "Did you forget that, Manny?" "How could I forget?" Manny groaned. "He never lets us finish one stupid song." I could feel myself blushing again. "I just want to get it right, okay?" I told him. Okay, maybe I am a perfectionist. Is that a bad thing?" "The Battle of the Bands is in 2 weeks," I said. "A mere fortnight. We don't want to get on stage and embarrass ourselves, do we?" "I just hate being embarrassed. I hate it more than anything in the world, more than steamed broccoli." Broccoli's delicious. We started playing again. Jarrett hit the saxophone button on his keyboard, and it sounded as if we had a saxophone. Manny took the first solo, and I took the second. I messed up one chord. I wanted to start again, but I knew they'd murder me if I stopped, so I kept on playing. Lily's voice cracked on the high note, but she has such a sweet, tiny voice, it doesn't sound too bad. We played without taking a break for nearly 2 hours. It sounded pretty good. Whenever Jared found the right drum rhythm, it sounded really good. After we put our instruments back in their cases, Lily suggested we go outside and mess around in the snow. The afternoon sun was still high in the shimmery blue sky. The thick blanket of snow sparkled in the golden sunlight. We chased each other around the snow-covered evergreen shrubs in Lily's front yard. Manny crushed a big, wet snowball over Jared's Raiders cap. That started a snowball fight that lasted until we were all gasping for breath and laughing too hard to toss any more snow. "Let's build a snowman," Lily suggested. "Let's make him look like Larry," Christina added. Her blue-framed glasses were completely steamed up. "Whoever heard of the snowman with perfect blonde hair?" Lily replied. "Give me a break," I muttered, like every kid does in every goddamn Goosebumps book. They started to roll big balls of snow for the snowman's body. Jared moved Manny over one of the big snowballs and tried to roll him up in the ball, but Manny was too heavy. The whole thing crumbled to powder around him. While they worked on the snowman, I wandered down the street. Something caught my eye at the curb next door. A pile of junk standing next to a metal trash dumpster. I glanced up at the neighbor's house. I could see that it was being remodeled. The pile of junk at the curb was waiting to be carted away. I leaned over the side of the dumpster. Why is dumpster capitalized? It's not a brand. Oh, I need to tweet R.L. Stine. No, I can't let him know who I am. And began shuffling through the stuff. Someone tweeted R.L. Stine and asked him why he's capitalizing dumpster in My Hairiest Adventure, the Goosebumps book. I love old junk. I can't help myself. I just love pawing through piles of old stuff. Leaning into the dumpster, I shoved aside a stack of wall tiles and a balled-up shower curtain. Beneath a small, round shag rug, I found a white enamel medicine chest. "Wow, this might have drugs! Cool!" I murmured to myself. I pulled it up with both hands, moved away from the dumpster, and opened the chest. To my surprise, I found bottles and plastic tubes inside. I started to examine them, moving them around with my hands, when I saw an orange bottle. "Hey guys," I shouted up to my friends, "look what I found!" Chapter 3. I carried the orange bottle back up to Lily's yard. "Hey guys, look," I called, waving the bottle. No one looked up. Manny and Jared were struggling to lift one big snowball and set it on the other one to form the snowman's body. Lily was shouting encouragement. Christina was wiping snow off her glasses with one of her gloves. "Hey Larry, what's that?" Christina finally asked, putting her glasses back on.
God damn it, did I just record over this shit? No, I didn't. Oh, no, I'm fucking it up. Ah, keep going. I apologize profusely. This is not good.
Putting her glasses back on, the others turned and saw the bottle in one hand. I read the label to them. Instatan. Rub on dark suntan. Rub on a dark suntan. Sorry, let me just do this one more time. Sorry, I was going to make an Instagram joke, so I wasn't reading well. Instatan. Rub on a dark suntan in minutes. Cool, Manny declared. Let's try it. Where did you find it? Lily demanded. Her cheeks were bright red from the cold. There were white flecks of snow in her bangs and white flecks of rice on her nostrils. I pointed to the dumpster. Your neighbors threw it out. The bottle is full, I announced. Let's try it, Manny repeated, grinning his crooked grin. Yeah, let's all go into school on Monday with dark suntans, Christina urged like Snooky. Can you see the look on Miss Schindling's face? We'll tell her we all went to Florida. Ugh. No, the Bahamas, Lily declared. We'll tell Howie Herwin that the geeks went to the Bahamas to practice. Everyone laughed except Dune. Do you think the stuff works? Jared asked, adjusting his cap and staring at the bottle. It has to, Lily said. They couldn't sell it if it didn't work. She grabbed the bottle from my hand. It's nearly full. We can all get great tans. Come on, let's do this. It'll be so cool. We all followed Lily back into the house. Our boots crunched over the snow, our breath steaming up from our heads. I pulled off my coat and tossed it onto the pile of the others. As I made my way into the living room, I began to have second thoughts. What if the stuff doesn't work? I asked myself. What if it turns us bright yellow? Oh, because I don't like Asians. Or green instead of tan. Oh, I don't like people that have gangrene. I'd be so totally embarrassed if I had to show up at school with bright green skin. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't. Even if it took months, I'd hide in my house, in my closet, till the stuff wore off. The others didn't seem to be worried. We jammed into the downstairs bathroom. Lily still had the bottle of Instatan. She twisted off the cap and poured a big glob of it into her hand. It was a creamy white liquid. Ow! Ski, 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 ski! Smells nice, Lily reported, rinsing her hand, raising her hand to her face. Very sweet-smelling. She began rubbing it on her neck, then her cheeks, then her forehead. Tilting the bottle, she poured another big puddle into her palm. Then she rubbed the liquid all over the backs of both hands. Manny took the instant tan bottle next. He splashed a big glob of it into his face and then called it a pearl necklace. Then he started Then he started rubbing it all over his face. Feels cool and creamy, Christina reported when her turn came. Jared went next. He practically emptied the bottle as he rubbed the stuff all over his face and neck. Finally, it was my turn. I took the bottle and started to tilt it into my palm. But something made me stop. I hesitated. I could see that the others were all watching me, waiting for me to splash the liquid all over my skin too. But instead, I turned the bottle over and read the tiny print on the label, and what I read made me gasp out loud.
Find out what he read in chapter 4.
Chapter number 4.
Larry, what's your problem? Lily demanded. Just pour a little in your hand and rub it on.
But,
I sputtered. Do I look darker? Christina asked Lily. Is it working?
Not yet, Lily told her.
She turned back to me. What's wrong, Larry?
The label, I stammered. It says, do not use after February 1991.
Holy shit. That is 22 years old. Oh, God. People born in 91 can drink.
Oh, I'm dying.
Everyone laughed. Their laughter rang off the tile walls in the narrow bathroom. It can't hurt you, Lily said, shaking her head. So what if the stuff is a little old? That doesn't mean it'll make your skin fall off.
"Don't wimp out," Manny said, grabbing the bottle and tilting the top toward my hand. "Go ahead, pour it. We've all done it, Larry. Now it's your turn." Wow, that is how peer pressure apparently works. I think my skin is starting to tan.
"Christina,"
said. She and Jared were admiring themselves in the mirror over the sink. "Go ahead, Larry," Lily urged. "Those dates on the labels don't mean anything." She shoved my arm. "Put it on! What could happen?" "Well, judging by the cover of the book, I think I know what could happen. He could have his hairiest adventure." I could see that they were all staring at me now. My face grew hot, and I knew that I was blushing. I didn't want them to call me a wimp. I didn't want to be the only one to chicken out. So I tilted the bottle down and poured the last sticky glob of the liquid into the palm of my hand. Then I splashed it onto my face and rubbed it all over. I covered my face, my neck, my pussy, and the back of my hands. It felt cool and creamy, and it did have a sweet smell, a little like my dad's aftershave. The others cheered when I finished rubbing the cream in. "Way to go, Larry!" Jared clapped me on the back so hard I nearly dropped the empty Insta-tan bottle. We all pushed and shoved, struggling to get a good view of ourselves in the medicine cabinet mirror and shit. Manny gave Jared a hard shove and sent him sprawling into the shower. "How long is it supposed to take?" Christina asked. The bright ceiling light reflected off her glasses as she studied herself in the mirror. "I don't think it's working at all," Lily said, letting out a disappointed sigh. I studied the label again. "It says we should have a dark, good-looking tan almost instantly," I reported. I shook my head. I knew the stuff was too old. I knew we shouldn't have... Manny's shrill scream cut off my words. We all turned to him and saw his horrified expression. "My face!" Manny shrieked. "My face! It's falling off!" He held his hands cupped. They trembled as he held them up, and I saw that he was holding a pale blob of his own skin!
Chapter number 5. It is the fifth chapter, yeah. It is the fifth chapter, yeah.
Oh! A weak moan escaped my lips. The others stared down at Manny's hands. More like man's, or because they're Manny's. In silent horror. "My skin! He groaned my skin!" And then a grin burst out over his face, and he started to laugh. As he held up his hand, I saw that it wasn't a piece of pale skin at all. It was a wet, wadded-up tissue. "Oh, R.L. Stein, you got us again." Laughing his head off, Manny let the tissue float down to the bathroom floor. "You jerk!" Lily cried angrily. We all began shouting and shoving Manny. We pushed him into the shower. Lily reached for the knobs to turn on the water. "No, stop!" Manny pleaded, laughing hard, struggling to break free. "Please, it was just a joke!" Lily changed her mind and backed away. We all took a final glance in the mirror as we paraded out of the bathroom. No change, no tan. The stuff hadn't worked at all. We grabbed our coats and hurried back outside to finish the snowman. I took the empty Insta-tan bottle with me and tossed it into the snow. Why? Don't litter. As Lily and Christina rolled a snowball to make the head, then they lifted it onto the snowman's body. I found two dark stones for eyes. Manny grabbed Jared's Raider's cap and placed it on top of the snowman's head. It looked pretty good, but Jared quickly grabbed his cap back. "It looks a lot like you, Manny," Jared said, "except smarter." We all laughed. A strong gust of wind whipped around the side of the house. The wind toppled the snowman's head. It rolled off the body and crumbled to powder on the ground. "Now it really looks like you," Jared told Manny. "Think fast," Manny cried. He scooped up a big handful of snow and heaved it at Jared. Jared tried to duck, but the snow poured over him. He instantly bent down and scooped up an even bigger pile of snow and dropped it over Manny's head. This started a long, funny snowball fight among the five of us. Actually, it turned out to be Lily and me against Manny, Jared, and Christina.
The two of us held our own for a while. Lily is the fastest snowball maker I've ever seen. She could work in an Asian factory one day. She can make one and throw it in time it takes me to bend down and start rolling the snow between my gloves. The snowball fight quickly became a war. We weren't even bothering to make snowballs. We were just heaving big handfuls of snow at each other. And then we started rolling in the snow. And then we chased each other to the next yard where the snow was fresh and started another heavy-duty snowball fight. What a great time! We were laughing and shouting and humping, all breathing hard, all steaming hot despite the cold, swirling winds. And then suddenly, I felt sick. I dropped to my knees, swallowing hard. The snow started to gleam brightly, too brightly. The ground swayed and shook. I felt really sick. What is happening to me? I wondered.
The sixth chapter is here.
Dr. Merkin raised the long hypodermic needle. It gleamed in the light. A tiny droplet of green liquid spilled from the tip. Take a deep breath and hold it, Larry, the doctor instructed in his whispery voice. This won't hurt. He said the same words every time I had to see him. I knew he was lying. The shot hurt. It hurt every time I got one, which was about every 2 weeks. He grabbed my arm gently with his free hand. He leaned close to me, so close I could smell the peppermint mouthwash on his breath. All this seems like a very pleasant experience with a doctor. He's all nice and comforting and is sure to put mouthwash in so he doesn't smell like the weird decaying stench of old man breath. I took a deep breath and turned away. I could never bear to watch the long needle sink into my arm. Ow! I let out a low cry as the needle punctured the skin. Dr. Merkin, really, Dr. Merkin? I ignored it the first time, but really? Tightened his grip on my arm. That doesn't hurt much, does it? He said, his voice just above a whisper. Not too much, I groaned. I glanced up at my mother. She was biting her lower lip, her face twisted in worry. She looked as if she was getting the shot. Finally, I felt the needle slide out. Dr. Merkin dabbed a cold, alcohol-soaked cotton ball against the puncture spot.
You'll be okay now,
he said, patting my bare back.
You can put your shirt back on.
He turned and smiled reassuringly at my mother. Dr. Merkin is a very distinguished-looking man. I guess he's about 50 or so. He has straight white hair that he slicks down and brushes straight back. He has friendly blue eyes behind square-shaped black eyeglasses and a warm smile. Even though he lies when he says the shot won't hurt, I think he's a really good doctor, and I like him a lot. He always makes me feel better.
Same old sweat gland problem, he told my mother, writing some notes in my file. He got overheated, and we know that's not good, don't we, Larry?
I muttered a reply. I have a problem with my sweat glands. They don't work very well. I mean, I can't sweat. So when I get overheated, I start to feel sick. I used to have the opposite when I was a teenager. I had some shit where... Hold on a second. Where I would just sweat, always. Hot, cold, doesn't matter. Moving, not moving. Some sort of weird disorder. And I got, went to the doctor for it after just years of just being like, I'm going to wear a jacket for no reason in the middle of the summer because I'm sweating. And it was horrible. But everything's a big deal when you're a teenager, when you're an adult. You're just like, fuck it. I'm going to explain it on the podcast. But it sucked. I didn't like it at all. And then I got shit to put on my arms that was like, you know, the aluminum part of the deodorant. It was like that, but like concentrated to where deodorant is like 0.1%, and it was like 20-something%, and it just hurt excruciatingly. And now I like can't sweat out of my arms or armpits or whatever. Just can't do it anymore. So it's good. It's the opposite of the problem. Anyway, I'm just saying. This is my campaign. Because as a, you know, slightly overweight, middle-class white guy in America, that's exactly the... the kind of person that's not allowed to complain about things. This is my video campaign of, hey, people that sweat too much as teenagers, it gets better. It doesn't have the same bearing. I don't think anyone's ever killed themselves over this. Whatever. I muttered a reply. I have a problem with my sweat glands. They don't work very well. I mean, I can't sweat. So when I get really overheated, I start to feel sick. That's why I have to see Dr. Merkin every 2 weeks. He gives me shots that make me feel better. Our snowball battle was a lot of fun. But out in the snow and cold wind, I didn't even realize I was getting overheated. That's why I started to feel weird. Do you feel better now? My mom asked as we made our way out of the doctor's office. I nodded. Yeah, I'm okay, I told her. I stopped at the door and turned to face her. Do I look different, Mom? Huh? She narrowed her dark eyes at me. Different? How? Do I look like maybe I have a suntan or something? I asked, hopefully. Because I've been gymming and tanning and laundering? GTL? Yeah? Yeah? James Tan Laundry? Gym? No? Her eyes studied my face. I'm a little worried about you, Larry, she said quietly. I want you to take a short nap when we get home, okay? I guess that meant I didn't look too tanned. I knew that the instant tan wouldn't work. The bottle was too old, and it probably didn't even work when it was new. It's hard to get a suntan in the winter, Mom commented as we headed across the snowy parking lot to the car. Tell me about it, I thought, rolling my eyes.
Drinking break.
Lily called me right after dinner. I felt a little sick too, she admitted. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine, I replied. I held the cordless phone in one hand and flipped TV channels with the remote in the other hand. It's a bad habit of mine. Sometimes I flip channels for hours at a time and never really watch anything. Howie and Marissa walked by after you left, Lily said. Did you massacre them? I asked eagerly. Did you bury them in snowballs? Lily laughed. No. We were all soaked and exhausted by that time. By the time Howie and Marissa showed up, we all just sort of stood there, shivering. Did Howie say anything about their band? I asked. Yeah, Lily replied. He said he bought an Eric Clapton guitar book. He said he's learning some new songs that'll blow us away. Hey, listeners. I bet he's planning to cream them. Because Eric Clapton was the guitarist for a band named Cream. And that was the pun that I would have used if I were R.L. Stine. Howie should stick to the drums. He is the worst guitar player in the world, I muttered. When he plays, the guitar actually squeaks. I don't know how he does it. How do you make a guitar squeak? Lily laughed. Marissa squeaks too, but she calls it singing. We both laughed. I cut my laughter short. Do you think Howie and the Shouters are any good? I don't know, Lily replied thoughtfully. Howie brags so much, you can't really believe him. He says they're good enough to make a CD. He says his dad wants them to make a demo tape so he can send it to all the big CD companies. Yeah, sure, I muttered sarcastically. We should sneak over to Howie's house some afternoon when they're all practicing, I suggested. We could listen at the window. Check him out. Marissa's actually a pretty good singer, Lily said. She has a nice voice. But she's not as good as you, I said. Well, I think we're getting better, Lily commented. Then she added, it's a shame we don't have a real drummer. I agreed. Jared's drum machine doesn't always play the same song we play. Whose fault is that, the machine or you? Jerk. Lily and I talked about the battle of the bands a while longer. Then I said goodnight, turned off the phone, and sat down at my desk to start my homework. I didn't finish until nearly 10! Yawning, I went downstairs to tell Mom and Dad I was going to sleep. Back upstairs, I masturbated. Just kidding. He just changed into his PJs and crossed the hall to the bathroom to brush his little teefies. Under the bright bathroom light, I studied my face in the mirror over the sink. No tan. My face stared back at me as pale as ever. I picked up my toothbrush and spread a small line of blue toothpaste on him. I started to raise the toothbrush to my mouth and then stopped. Hey! I cried out. The toothbrush dropped into the sink as I gazed at the back of my hand. At first, I thought the hand was covered by a dark shadow. But as I raised it closer to my face, I saw to my horror that it was no shadow. And that's no moon. I let out a loud, gulping sound as I stared at the back of my hand. It was covered by a patch of thick, black hair. Chapter number 7. Staring down in shock, I shook the hand hard. I think I expected the black hair to fall off. I grabbed at it with my other hand and tugged it. Ow! The hair really was growing from the back of my hand. How can this be? I cried to myself, holding the hand in the light. I struggled to stop it from trembling so I could examine it. The hair was nearly half an inch high. It was shiny and black. Very spiky, very prickly. It felt as if I was a 12-year-old Armenian girl. Sorry, it felt kind of rough as I rubbed my other hand over it. Hairy Larry. That dumb name Lily called me suddenly popped back into my head. Hairy Larry! In the mirror, I could see my face turning red. They'll call me Hairy Larry for the rest of my life, I thought unhappily. If they ever see this black hair growing out of my hand, I can't let anyone see this, I told myself, feeling my chest tighten in panic. I can't! It would be so embarrassing! I examined my left hand. It was as smooth and clear as ever. Thank goodness it's only one hand, I cried. I tugged frantically at the patch of black hair again. I pulled it until my hand ached, but the hair didn't come out. My mouth suddenly felt dry. I gripped the edge of the sink with both hands, struggling to stop my entire body from trembling. What the fuck am I going to do? I murmured. Do I have to wear a glove for the rest of my life, like Michael Jackson? I can't let my friends see this. They'll call me Hairy Larry forever. That's how I'll be known for the rest of my life. A panicked sob escaped my throat. Got to calm down, I warned myself. Got to think clearly. I was gripping the sink so tightly my hands ached. I lift them, then rolled up both pajama sleeves. Were my arms covered in black hair, too? No. I let out a long sigh of relief. The square patch of prickly hair on the back of my right hand seemed to only be the only hair that had grown. What to do? What to do? Oh, God, I can hear my neighbors talking in a normal voice, which means that they can hear me yelling this Goosebumps. But I think it might be the same neighbors who for some reason played My Name Is by Eminem like 8 times in a row yesterday with the bass turned all the way up. So they can't complain. I could hear my parents climbing the stairs on their way to the bathroom. Quickly, I closed the bathroom door and locked it.
Larry, are you still up here? I thought you went to bed.
I heard my mom call from out in the hall. Just brushing my hair, I called out. I brush my hair every night before I go to bed, like Marsha Brady. I know it doesn't make any sense. I know it gets messed up the instant I put my head down on the pillow. It's just a weird habit. I raised my eyes to my hair, my dark blonde hair so soft and wavy. So unlike the disgusting patch of spiky black hair on my hand. I just referenced back to the front cover of the book. And the hair on his hands looks like he's wearing the bully, like, fingerless gloves from the 80s, but they're covered in angora fur. Just saying. I felt sick. My stomach hurtled up to my throat. I forced back my feeling of nausea and pulled open the door to the medicine chest. My eyes slid desperately over the bottles and tubes.
Hey, kids, if you find anything good in your medicine cabinets, why not just send it to Dune? You know, maybe you have trouble paying attention in class, but you don't want to take that medicine. Send it to old Dune. Maybe, Mama claims that she hurt her back, but you can't really figure out why she hurt her back, but she needs her medicine. Get it out of the house. Send it to old Dune.
Hair remover. I searched for the words hair remover. There is such a thing, isn't it? Not in our medicine cabinet. I read every jar, every bottle, no hair remover. I stared down at the black patch on my hand. Had the hair grown a little bit? Or was I just imagining it? Another idea flashed into my mind. I pulled down my dad's razor on the bottom shelf of the medicine cabinet. I found a can of shaving cream. I'll shave it all off, I decided. It will be easy.
I'd watched my dad shave a million times. There was nothing to it. I started the hot water running in the sink. I splashed some on the back of my hand, then I rubbed the bar of soap over the bristly black hair until it got all lathery. My hands were wet and slippery, and the can of shaving cream nearly slid out of my grip. But I managed to push the top and spray a pile of white shaving cream onto the back of my hand. I smoothed it over the ugly black hair. Then I picked up the razor in my left hand and held it under the hot water, the way I'd seen Dad do it. And I started to shave. It was so hard to shave with my left hand. Dude, it's hard to shave always. Shaving sucks. But I'm also Italian. And Scottish. Mostly Scottish. But my hair, like from the top of my head, connects to my neck, which goes all the way down my neck till it connects to my chest hair, which goes all the way to my feet. Just everywhere. Like I've said before, I think on this show, if I get lice, I'm fucked. Like, that's it. They'll have the most, like, intricate trade network ever set up immediately. The razor blade slid over the thick patch. The bristly hair came right off. I watched it flow down the sink drain. Then I held my hand under the faucet and let the water rinse away the rest of the shaving cream lather. The water felt warm and soothing. I dried off my hand and then examined it carefully. Smooth, smooth and clean. Not a trace of disgusting black hair. Feeling a lot better. I put my dad's razor and shaving cream back in the medicine cabinet. Then I crept across the hall to my bedroom. Rubbing the back of my hand, enjoying its cool smoothness, I clicked off the ceiling light and climbed into bed. My head sank heavy onto the pillow. I yawned, suddenly feeling very sleepy. What had caused that ugly hair to grow? The question had been nagging at me ever since I discovered it. Was it the Instatan? Was it the old bottle of tanning lotion? I wondered if my friends had grown hair too. I had to giggle as I pictured Manny covered in hair like a big gorilla. But it wasn't funny. It was scary. I rubbed my hands still smooth. The hair didn't seem to be growing back. I yawned again, drifting back to sleep. Oh no, I'm itchy, I realized suddenly. Half awake, half asleep, my whole body feels itchy. Is spiky black hair growing all over my body? We'll find out, won't we? You know where we will find out? On Chapter 8. Chapter 8! Did you sleep? Mom asked. As I dragged myself into the kitchen for breakfast, you look pale. Dad lowered his newspaper to check me out. A white mug of coffee steamed in front of him. He doesn't look pale to me, he muttered before returning to his newspaper. I slept okay, I said, sliding onto the stool at the breakfast counter. I studied my hand, keeping it under the counter just in case. No hair! It looked perfectly smooth. My hands have weird patches of hair. Like, they stop at, like, the wrist or a little bit past the actual arm hair. And then there's, like, an island of hair on the left side of my palm, and it's fucking weird. My girlfriend's sister likes to just poke at it and mock me. Damn you, Loren. So I happily ate my frosted flakes. I did that in their great tone. And drank my orange juice. Ew, orange juice and milk. That sounds terrible. Mom sat down beside Dad and started to crack open a hard-boiled egg. She had a hard-boiled egg every morning. But she threw away the yellow and only ate the white. She said she didn't want the cholesterol. Mom and Dad, I have to tell you something. I did a pretty stupid thing yesterday. I found an old bottle of a cream called Instatan, in a trash dumpster, which is capitalized still, and my friends and I all rubbed it on ourselves, you know, so we'd have tans, but the date had run out in the bottle and, well, last night I suddenly grew some really gross black hair on the back of my hand. That's what I wanted to say. I wanted to tell them about it. I even opened my mouth to start telling them, but I couldn't do it. I'd be so embarrassed. They would just start yelling at me and probably telling me what a jerk I was. They'd probably drag me off to Dr. Merkin and tell him what I had done. And then he would tell me how stupid I'd been. So I kept my stupid mouth shut.
"You're awfully quiet this morning," Mom said, sliding a sliver of egg white into her mouth. Sliver and silver look similar. Shut up.
"Nothing much to talk about,"
I muttered. "Drinking break. What are those called?" I still don't know. I ran into Lily on the way to school. She had her coat collar pulled up and her red and blue wool ski cap pulled down over her short, blonde hair. "It isn't that cold," I said, jogging to catch up with her.
"Mom said it's going down to 10,
Lily replied. She made me bundle up. The morning sun floated low over the houses, a red ball in the pale sky. The wind felt sharp. We leaned into it as we walked. A hard crust had formed over the snow and our boots crunched loudly. I took a deep breath. I decided to ask Lily the big question in my mind.
"Lily?"
I started hesitantly.
"What's sex?"
"Just kidding," he said. Did any strange hair grow on the back of your hands last night?" She stopped walking and stared at me. A solemn expression darkened her face. "Yes," she confessed in a hushed whisper.
Chapter 9.
"Huh?" I gasped. My heart skipped a beat. "You grew hair on your hand?" Lily nodded grimly. She moved closer. Her blue eye and green eye stared at me from under the wool ski cap. "Hair grew on my hands," she whispered. Her breath steamed up the cold air as she talked.
"Hey, Lily, what you smoking, girl?"
"I'm not smoking. I'm breathing."
"Yeah? No? Cool Runnings? No? Okay. All right. We'll just try John."
"Then it grew on my arms and my legs and my back. I let out a choked cry. Then my face changed into a wolf's face," Lily continued, still staring hard at me. "And I ran out to the woods and howled at the moon like this." She threw back her head and uttered a long, mournful howl.
I looked up to see if all the pets were looking at me when I did that, because Franklin's on his bed that's, 8 feet away. Yoda's laying on a recliner that's 6 feet away. And Scarlet's laying on the floor 5 feet away. And none of them were fucking paying attention to me.
"Then I found 3 people in the woods and I ate them," Lily declared, "because I'm a werewolf."
She growled at me and snapped her teeth. And then she burst out laughing. I could feel my face turning red. Lily gave me a hard, playful shove. I lost my balance and nearly fell onto my back. She laughed even harder. "You believed me, didn't you, Larry?" she accused. "You actually believed that dumb story?"
"No way," I cried. My face felt red hot.
"No way, Lily. Of course I didn't believe you." But I had believed her story, up to the point where she said she ate 3 people. Then I finally figured out that she was joking, that she was teasing me.
"Harry Larry," Lily chanted. "Harry Larry."
"Stop it," I insisted angrily. "You're not funny, you know. You're not funny at all."
"Well, you are," she shot back. "Funny looking."
"Ha ha," I said sarcastically. I turned and crossed the street, taking long strides, trying to get away from her.
"Harry Larry,"
she called, chasing after me.
"Harry Larry."
I slid on a patch of ice. I quickly caught my balance, but my backpack slid off my shoulder and dropped with a thud onto the street. As I bent to pick it up, Lily stood over me.
"Did you grow hair last night, Larry?" she demanded.
"Huh?" I pretended not to hear. "Did you grow hair on the back of your hand?"
"Is that why you asked me?" Lily asked, leaning over me.
"No way," I muttered. I hoisted the backpack onto my shoulder and started walking again.
"No way," I repeated. Lily laughed. "Are you a werewolf?"
I pretended to laugh too.
"No, I'm a vampire," I replied. I wished I could tell Lily the truth. I really wanted to tell her about the patch of ugly hair.
Dude, Larry, you need bros. You gotta talk to bros about this shit, not hoes. But I knew she could never keep it a secret. I knew she would spread the story over the whole school, and then everyone I knew would call me...
What are they gonna call him? Everyone. One, two, three.
Harry Larry. For the rest of my life. That was the worst count and then delivery of something ever, and I apologize. I felt bad about lying to her. I mean, she is my best friend, but what could I do? We walked the rest of the way to school without saying much. I kept glancing over at Lily. She had the strangest smile on her face.
Drinking break.
Yeah, fuck, I'm just gonna finish this. As much as I absolutely love Steel Reserve, warm Steel Reserve is nobody's friend, especially the last inch of it.
All done.
Are you ready to present your book reports?
Miss Schindling asked. Damn, I knew it was a teacher talking. Rolled the dice on it. Came up snake eyes. It was a woman. The classroom erupted with sounds, chairs scraping, trapper keepers being opened, papers being rustled, throats being cleared. Standing in front of the entire class and reciting a book report makes everyone nervous. It makes me very nervous. I just hate having everyone stare at me. And if I goof up a word or forget what I say next or get an erection, I always turn bright red, and then everyone laughs and makes fun of me. The night before, I practiced my book report standing in front of the mirror, and I had done pretty well, only a few tiny mistakes. Of course, I hadn't been nervous giving the report to myself in my room. Now, my knees were shaking, and I hadn't even been called yet. Howie, would you like to give your report first? Miss Schindling asked, motioning for Howie Herwin to come to the front of the class. Remind me to name a kid with a name that starts with an M, because alliteration is awesome and it makes everyone sound like a character in the Marvel Universe. It's a shame to have the best go first, Howie replied, grinning. A few kids laughed. Other kids groaned. I knew that Howie wasn't joking. He really thought he was the best at everything. He stepped confidently to the front of the room. Howie is a big guy, sort of chubby, with thick brown hair that he never brushes, and a big round face with freckles and shit on his cheeks. He always has a smirk on his face, a stuck-up look that says, "I'm the best, and you're an insect." That's a weird thing to assume about someone. He usually wears baggy, faded denim jeans about 5 sizes too big, because those will never go out of style. Get it? Because they were only in style for like 3 years, and they're terrible and gross, and no one looks good in them, and just normal straight leg jeans are great. I don't know, I'm talking about like slim straight and the fucking form-fitting, but if you just wear a straight leg, you always look good no matter when you're born. And a long sleeve t-shirt with shiny black vest opened over it. Wow, what a douchebag. He held up the book he was reporting on. One of the Matt Christopher baseball books. I groaned to myself. I knew in advance exactly what Howie was going to say. I recommend this book to anyone who likes baseball. When I used to write stuff for Comics Online, that was like the hacky thing I ended it with. It was always like, hey, if you want to buy this, you should pick it up. But if you don't, then fuck it. And that's why. That's why, wait, this. Still want me to review, I'm just lazy. Fuck, that doesn't help. Hi, Kevin. That's how Howie always starts his book reports. So boring. But Howie always got A's anyway. I never understood why Miss Schindling thinks he's so terrific. Howie cleared his throat and grinned at Miss Schindling. Then he took to the class and started his report in a loud, steady voice. I recommend this book to anyone who likes baseball, he began. Told you. I yawned loudly. No one seemed to notice. Howie droned on. This is a very exciting book with a very good plot, he said. If you like a lot of excitement, you'll like this book, especially if you're a baseball fan. I didn't hear the rest of it. I kept silently going over and over my report, my own report, and shit in my head and stuff. A few minutes later, when Miss Schindling announced, Larry, you're next, I almost didn't hear her. I took a deep breath and climbed to my feet. Stay cool, Larry, I told myself. You practiced and practiced your report.
There's nothing to be nervous about. Clearing my throat loudly, I started up the aisle to the front of the room. I was halfway up the aisle when Howie stuck out his foot. I saw his big grin, but I didn't see his foot. "Ow!" I cried in surprise as I stumbled over it and went sprawling to the floor. The classroom exploded with laughter. My heart pounding, I started to pull myself up, but I stopped when I saw my hands. Both of them were bristling with thick, black hair.
Chapter number 10.
"Larry, are you okay?" I heard Miss Schindling call from her desk. I was too stunned to answer. "Larry, are you hurt?"
Well,
I couldn't speak at all. I couldn't move. I couldn't think. Crouched on the floor, I stared in horror at my hairy hands. Above me, I could hear kids all laughing about how Howie had tripped me and shit. I glanced up to see the kid next to Howie slapping him a high five. "Ha, ha, very funny," I thought like a little bitch. Usually, I'd be totally embarrassed, but I didn't have time to be embarrassed. I was too scared. Had anyone seen my hairy hands? Still down on the floor, I glanced quickly around the room. No one was pointing in horror or crying out. Maybe no one had caught a glimpse of them yet. Quickly, I jammed both hands deep into my jeans pockets. Then, when I was sure both hands were completely hidden, I climbed slowly to my feet.
Wait, someone that's listening right now, that's wearing jeans, will you put both hands in your pocket while laying face first on the floor, and then try to stand up? Also film this and send it to me. I'd appreciate this very much.
"Look, Larry is blushing," someone called from the back row. The room exploded with more laughter. Of course, that made me blush even redder. But blushing wasn't exactly my biggest problem. There was no way I could stand in front of the class with these two hairy hands. I'd rather die. Without even thinking about it, I started hurrying back up the aisle to the classroom door with my hands jammed into my jeans. It wasn't easy to walk fast.
"Larry, what's wrong?" Miss Schindling called from the front of the room. "Where are you going?"
BRB? I managed to choke out.
"Are you sure you're okay?" the teacher said.
"Yeah, I'm fine,"
I muttered as Dune drank water.
"Be right back, really."
I knew everyone was staring at me, but I didn't care. I just had to get out of there. I was like a Joker talking to the thief. I had to figure out what to do about my hands. As I reached the door, I heard Miss Schindling scold Howie.
"You could have hurt Larry. You shouldn't trip people, Howie. I've warned you about this before."
"But Miss Schindling, was an accident,"
Howie lied. I slipped out the door into the long, empty hall. I checked to make sure no one was around to see me, then I pulled my hands from my pockets. I had a dim hope that maybe my hands would be back to normal, but that hope vanished as soon as I raised them to the light.
"Scarlet, stop meowing."
Thick, black hair, nearly an inch high, covered both hands. How could it grow so fast? I wondered. The backs of my hands were hairy, and my palms were hairy, too. Hair poked up from the knuckles of my fingers, and clumps of black hair grew in the space between my fingers.
That sound wasn't in there. That's just how I felt. I was just emoting.
I rubbed my hands together as if trying to rub the ugly hair away, but of course it didn't come off. "No, please, no," I moaned out loud without realizing it. What could I do? I couldn't go back to class with these hairy monster hands. They would make everyone sick. I would be embarrassed for the rest of my life. Whenever anyone would see me coming, they'd say,
"Here comes Hairy Larry Boyd. Remember that day the black hair grew all over his hands?"
I'll run home, I decided. I'll get away from here. No.
How could I leave school in the middle of the morning? Miss Schindling was waiting for me to return and give a book report. I stood frozen, my back against the tile wall, gazing at the hideous hands, and I suddenly realized that I wasn't alone in the hallway. I glanced up and gasped when I saw Mr. Fosberg, the principal. He was carrying a stack of textbooks, but he had stopped a few feet away from me.
and he was staring in shock at my hairy hands.
Chapter number 12. Switch to Budweiser, cause it's the king of beers.
I swung my hands down and tucked them behind my back, but I was too late. Mr. Fosberg had already seen them. His blue eyes narrowed as he studied me. I shuddered. What was he going to say? What was he going to do now? Is it too cold in the building? The principal asked. Huh? I replied. What was he asking? I leaned back against my hands, pressing them against the wall. Even through my shirt, I could feel the prickly hair all over them. Should I have the furnace turned up, Larry? Mr. Fosberg asked. Is it too cold? Is that why you're wearing gloves to class? Gloves? I stammered. He thought I was wearing gloves. By the way, I remember my elementary school principal knowing my name. How the fuck did they do that? I don't know anyone's name ever. There's people I've spent hours and hours and hours with, and I cannot fucking remember their name. But I guess the principal doesn't also fucking champion Steel Reserve all day, every day, and huff things. I thought it was a little cold. I told him, starting to feel a little better. That's why I went to my locker for gloves. He stared at me thoughtfully. Then he turned and headed the other way, balancing the stacks of textbooks in both hands. I'll talk to the custodian about it, he called back. I breathed a sigh of relief as he disappeared around the corner. That had been a close call, but he had given me a good idea. Gloves! I hurried to my locker. Turning the dial on the combination lock felt strange with my hairy fingers. But I opened the locker easily and pulled my black leather gloves from the pockets of my parka. A few seconds later, I stepped back into the classroom. Lily stood at the front of the class, giving her book report. She glanced at me curiously as I slid back to my seat.
That was weird.
When Lily finished, Miss Schindling called me to the front of the room. Are you okay now, Larry? She asked. Yes, I replied. My, hands were cold. I climbed out of my seat and stepped quickly to the front of the class. Some kids started to giggle and point at my gloves, but I didn't give a shit. At least no one could see my hands with the ugly black fur spouting all over them. I took a deep breath and started my report. The book I read is by Bruce Coville? Coville? It might be Coville, I began. And I would recommend it to anyone who likes funny science fiction stories. It's, you know, Douglas Adams-esque. I added that because I like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That might be my favorite book series. Drinking break, by the way. I also feel like I need to breathe. Ah, that's nice. After school, I hurried to my locker. I kept my head down and tried to avoid everyone. I had worn the gloves all day. They were hot and uncomfortable, and they seemed to grow tighter and tighter. I wondered if the black hair on my hands was growing, but I was afraid to take off the gloves and check it out. I tugged on my parka and slung my backpack over one shoulder, as was the style in the 90s. I have to get out of here, I think, I told myself. A few steps from the front exit, I heard Lily calling my name. I turned and saw her chasing after me. She was wearing an oversized yellow sweater pulled down over bright green tights. I kept walking. Catch you later, I called back to her. I'm in a hurry. But she came running up and stepped in front of me. Aren't you coming to band practice? She asked. I was so upset about my hairy hands that I'd completely forgotten. It's at my house again this afternoon, remember? Lily continued, walking backwards as I made my way to the doors. I can't, I stammered. I don't feel well. That was the truth. She stared. Well, that was horrifying. I sent some water in me. Lesser podcasts would edit this out, but fuck that. I'm way more professional.
What's your problem, Larry? How come you've been so weird all day?
I just don't feel well, I insisted. Sorry about the practice. Can we do it tomorrow?
I guess, she replied. She said something else, but I didn't hear it. I pushed open the door and hurried out of the school. I ran all the way home. The sun beamed down on the snow, making it gleam like silver. It was beautiful, but I didn't enjoy that shit at all. I was lost in my own troubled thoughts. My own beautiful, dark, twisted fantasy.
Kanye!
Thinking about hair, thick patches of black, spiky hair. I burst into the house and tossed my backpack onto the floor. I started up the stairs to my room, but stopped when I heard Mom call my name. I found her in the living room, on the chair by the front window. She had Jasper, our cat, in her lap and the cordless phone up to her ear. She said something into it, then lowered it as she raised her eyes to me.
Larry, you're home early. Don't you have band practice?
Not today, I lied. I have a lot of home work, and so I came home and shit.
Another lie. I didn't want to tell her the truth. I didn't want to tell her that I had rubbed Instatan all over myself, and now I was sprouting disgusting black hair.
I think he means just that the black hair on the hands and stuff is disgusting, and not that all people with black hair are disgusting. But then again, I did not write this book, R.L. Stein did, and he could mean that, in fact, everyone with swarthy features is gross and should be put down.
I didn't want to tell her, but it suddenly burst out of me, the whole story. I just couldn't hold it any longer.
Mom, you won't believe this, I started in a tiny, choked voice. I'm growing hair, Mom. Really gross black hair on my hands. You see, my friends and I, we found this old bottle of tanning lotion, and I know it was really stupid, but we poured it all over ourselves, and I rubbed it all over my face and hands and neck, and now I'm growing hair, Mom. In school today, I looked down, and both my hands were covered in black hair. I was so embarrassed. I'm so scared, too. I'm really scared.
I was breathing hard as I finished the story. I had been staring down at the floor as I told it. But now, I raised my eyes to see my mom's reaction. What would she say? Could she help me? Before going into high school, like the summer before when I was like 13, I broke my arm and had to wear a cast for a long period of time. And when I took the cast, or when the cast was taken off, my left arm was still all, like, little kid peach fuzz, and my right arm was, like, disgusting thick black hair. And it was very, very repulsive. I can relate to the story. Also, I'm just hairy as shit.
Chapter number 12.
I heard her mumble something, but I couldn't understand the words. Then I realized that she wasn't talking to me. She had the phone pressed to her ear, and she was talking into it. Mom had gone back to her telephone conversation. She was concentrating so hard, she hadn't heard a word of what I had said. I let out an annoyed groan. Then, I spun around and hurried up the stairs to my room. I closed the door behind me and tore off the hot, uncomfortable gloves. Jasper had run upstairs and perched on the window seat. Does he mean window sill? He says window seat. Is that a word? I'm not going to Google it. She spent most of the day on the window seat in my room, staring down at the front yard. As I tossed the gloves onto a chair, she turned to me, her bright yellow eyes glaring happily. I crossed the room and picked her up. Then I sat down on the window seat and hugged her. Is the window seat like a... Did DJ Tanner have a window seat? With that weird stuffed animal she had that looked like a window?
Hey, kids like windows. Let's make them hug them.
Anyway, is that... whatever.
Jasper, you're the only real friend I have,
I whispered, petting her back. How pathetic, you know. Franklin, you're... my best friend and my lover. I love you, Franklin. Look at me. I love you. Thank you for looking at me.
To my surprise, the cat let out a squawk, arched her back, and jumped to the floor. She ran halfway across the room, then turned back, her yellow eyes glaring at me. It took me a few seconds to realize the problem. I held up my hands. It's these big hairy paws, isn't it, Jasper? I said sadly. They frightened you, didn't they?
The cat tilted her head, as if trying to understand me.
Well,
They frighten me, too, I told her. I jumped up and hurried across the hall to the bathroom. Once again, I pulled out my dad's shaving equipment from the medicine cabinet. I set to work, shaving off the thick hair. It wasn't easy, especially trying to shave off the tufts of hair that had grown on the spaces between my fucking fingers. That hair was really hard to reach. The hair was stiff and tough like bristles on a hairbrush. I cut myself twice on the palm and the back of my right hand. As I rinsed the shaving cream off, I glanced down and saw Jasper staring up at me from the bathroom doorway. "Don't tell Mom and Dad," I whispered. She blinked her yellow eyes and yawned. I wonder if the twist ending is going to be that since all the other kids put on the hair stuff, just like he did, but they had no problems, he's actually a werewolf. Oh my goodness. And that's why the dogs were chasing him. The next morning, I awoke before Mom and Dad. Most mornings, I lie in bed and wait for Mom to shout that it's time to get up. But this morning, I jumped out of bed, turned on all the lights, and stepped up to my dresser mirror. Would I find new hair? I held up my hands and checked them out first. My eyes were still heavy from sleep, but I could see clearly that the hair had not grown back. Maybe that studio is sweating too, that he can only pant like a dog. RL style, look at you, you're tricky. And maybe the Raiders hat comes into play because he's a beast. Yes, I cried happily. The razor cuts on my right hand still hurt, but I didn't care. Both hands were smooth and hairless. I turned them over and gazed at them for a long while. I was so glad they looked normal. I had a dream about hair during the night. It had started out as spaghetti. In the dream, I was sitting at the kitchen starting to eat a big plate of spaghetti. But as I started to twirl the noodles on my fork, they instantly turned into hair. Long black hairs. I was twirling long black hairs onto my fork. The plate was piled high with long strands of black hair. Then I raised the mouthful of hair to my mouth, and I opened my mouth. Oh my God, mouth, 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 hair, hair, hair. I brought the hairy fork up closer and closer, and then I woke up. Oh, it's just like the plot of North. Yuck, what a gross dream. I had felt sick to my stomach, and it had been hard getting back to sleep. Now at least it was morning, and I continued my inspection. I leaned over and checked my feet. Then my legs? No, black clumps of hair. Then I checked my taint? No, clumps of hair. No weird fur growing anywhere. I guess it's safe to go to school, I told myself happily, but I'll be sure to keep my gloves handy. Because, like, gloves go on your hands? That's a good one, Arl Stein. After breakfast, I pulled on my coat, grabbed my backpack, and headed out of the house. It was a bright, warm day. The snow glistened wetly. The sunshine had started to melt it. I stepped carefully around the puddles of slush as I walked along the sidewalk. I was feeling better, a lot better, in fact. I was feeling really good. Then I turned and saw that pack of dogs, snarling dogs, headed right for me.
Chapter number 13, yeah.
My heart jumped up to my throat. The dogs were running full speed, their heads bobbing up and down, their eyes trained on me. They barked and growled furiously with each bounding step. My eyes suddenly felt as if they weighed 1,000 pounds. Did I say eyes? Because I meant legs. Did I say legs? Dear God. But I whirled around and forced myself to run. If they catch me, they'll tear me to pieces, I told myself. They must smell Jasper on me, I decided. That's why they always chase me. I love my cat. But why did she have to get me in so much trouble? Who owned these vicious dogs anyway? Why were they allowed to run like this? Questions. They flew through my mind as I ran across the front yards, then across the street. A car horn blared. I heard the squeal of brakes. A car skidded towards the opposite curb. I had to forget. Raps. Frickadicka raps. I had forgotten to check the traffic before I crossed. Sorry, I called and kept running. I should have been dead. A sharp pain in my side forced me to slow down. I turned and saw the yapping dogs racing steadily towards me. They crossed the street and kept moving over the snowy ground. Closer! Closer! Budweiser! Hey, Larry! Two kids stepped onto the sidewalk ahead of me.
Run! I screamed breathlessly. The dogs! But Lily and Jared didn't move. I stepped up to them, holding my side. It ached so hard I could barely breathe. Maybe you're just drinking a lot, like when my liver hurts. Lily turned to stare down at the dogs. As she had done before, Jared stepped up to meet them. All three of us watched the dogs approach. Seeing the three of us standing there, the dogs slowed to a stop. The snarls and growls stopped instantly. They stared back at us uncertainly. They were panting hard, their tongues drooping down nearly to the snow. "Go home," Lily shouted. She stamped her shoe hard on the sidewalk. The big black dog, presumably named Leroy, the leader, uttered a low whimper and hung his head. "Go home," all three of us chanted. The pain in my side started to fade. I felt a little better. The dogs weren't going to attack. I could see they didn't want to tangle with all three of us. This isn't an end of a chapter, but I need to take a break. Sorry. They turned and started to trot away, following the big black dog. Suddenly, Jared started to laugh. "Look at that one," he cried. He pointed to a long, scrawny dog with black, curly hair. "What's so funny about that one?" I demanded. "He looks just like Manny," Jared declared. Lily started to laugh. "You're right, he does." All three of us laughed. The dog had Manny's curly hair, and he had Manny's dark, soulful eyes. "I wish Manny wasn't on Modern Family. I also wish Lily wasn't on Modern Family." Lots of these characters keep coming up, but seriously, those two characters are fucking terrible.
"Come on, we'll be late," Lily said. She kicked a hard clump of snow off the sidewalk. Jared and I followed towards school.
"Why are those dogs chasing you?" Jared asked.
"I think because they smelled my cat," I replied.
"Those dogs are mean," Lily said.
A few steps ahead of us.
They shouldn't let them run wild like that.
"Tell me about it," I replied, rolling my eyes. A sharp gust of wind nearly blew us backwards over the slippery sidewalk. Jared's raider cap went flying into the street. A station wagon rumbled past, nearly running it over. Jared darted into the street and snatched the cap back.
"I'll be glad when this winter's over," he muttered.
We met Christina in front of the school. Her red hair blew wildly around her head in the swirling wind.
"Do we have band practice this afternoon?" she asked. She was chewing on a Snickers bar.
"Great breakfast," I said sarcastically.
"Mom didn't have time to make eggs," Christina replied, chewing. "The methadone clinic was shut down, and she couldn't get any medicine, so she was upstairs just, you know, tingling and vomiting."
"Yes, practice at my house," Lily said. "We've got to get to work, guys. We don't want Howie to win the contest." Christina turned to me.
"Where were you yesterday?"
I didn't feel good, I replied. That reminded me of the Instatan lotion.
Were any of my friends growing hair too? Because of the suntan gunk?
I had to know, I had to ask. But if they weren't growing hair, if I was the only one, then I'd be totally embarrassed.
Remember that Instatan stuff? I asked quietly.
"Great stuff," Jerry replied. "I think it made me paler." Christina laughed.
"It didn't work at all. You were right, Larry. That bottle was too old."
"Look at us," Lily added. "We're as pale as the snow. That stuff didn't do shit."
"But are you growing weird black patches of hair now?"
That's what I was dying to ask. But none of them said anything about growing hair.
Were they like me? Were they too embarrassed to admit it? Or was I the only one?
I took a deep breath. Should I ask? Should I ask if anyone was sprouting hair? I opened my mouth to ask, but I stopped when I realized that the subject had changed. They were talking about our band again.
"Can you bring your amp to my house?" Lily asked Christina.
"Manny will bring his, but it only has jacks to plug in two guitars."
"Maybe I could bring mine," I started to say.
But a gust of wind blew my parka hood back. I reached up to pull the hood back on my head, but my hand brushed the back of my neck, and I gasped. The back of my neck was covered with thick hair.
Chapter number 14.
"Larry, what's wrong?" Lily demanded. I couldn't speak. "What's wrong with your scarf?" Jared asked. "Is it too tight?" He tugged at the wool scarf around my neck. The scratchy scarf my mom made me wear because of my great aunt Hildy had knitted it. I forgot I was wearing it. God damn it, you shouldn't forget these things. You make us all, like, freaked out and on edge. You fucking idiot. When my hand brushed against it, I'd thought, "You look scared to death," Lily exclaimed. "Are you okay, Larry?" I nodded. "Yeah, I'm okay," I muttered, feeling my face go red. The scarf was choking me, I guess. What a lame lie. But I had to say something. I couldn't say that I had mistakenly thought that my neck had sprouted fur. "Larry, you've got to stop thinking about hair," I scolded myself. "If you don't, you'll drive yourself crazy." I shivered. "Let's go inside," I said, wrapping the wool scarf tightly around my neck.
Drinking break.
I hurried to the boys' room to brush my hair before the bell rang. Gazing at my wavy blonde hair in the mirror as I brushed it, I had a horrifying thought. What if my real hair suddenly fell out and the gross, prickly black hair grew in its place? What if I woke up one morning and my entire head was covered in African-American hair? I took a long look at myself in the mirror. Someone had smeared soap all over the glass, and my reflection appeared to stare back through a hazy white streaks. "Get your shit together," I told myself. I pointed a finger at my reflection, a smooth, hairless finger. "Stop thinking about hair, Larry," I instructed my reflection. "Stop thinking about it. You're going to be okay." The Instatan lotion has worn off, I decided. It had been several days since my friends and I had splashed on ourselves, and I had taken at least 3 showers and 2 baths. If it wore off, I told myself, it wore off, I told myself, "it's all gone, stop worrying about it." I took one last glance at my hair. It was getting pretty long, but I liked it that way. I liked brushing the sides back over my ears. "Maybe I'll let it grow really long," I thought. I tucked the hairbrush back into my backpack and headed to class. Another drinking break. Maybe, literature-wise, not an exciting paragraph, but it's an exciting paragraph for my addiction issues. I had a pretty good day until Miss Schindling handed back the history term papers. It wasn't the grade that upset me. She gave me a 94, which is really fucking good. I knew that Lily would probably brag that she got a 98 or a 99, but Lily was great at writing. A 94 was really excellent for me. The grade made me happy. But when I flipped through the pages, glancing over Miss Schindling's comments on my writing, I found a black hair on page 3. Was it my black hair? I wondered. Was it one of the disgusting black hairs that had sprouted on my hands? Or was it Miss Schindling's pube? Just kidding. Miss Schindling had short black hair. It could be one of hers. Or else... I squinted at the hair, afraid to touch it. I knew it was starting to get weird. I knew I had made a solemn vow that I was going to stop thinking about hair. But I couldn't help it. Seeing this one stubby little black hair stuck to the 3rd page of my term paper gave me the shudders. Finally, I raised the term paper close to my face and blew the hair away. I didn't hear a word Miss Schindling said for the rest of the class. I was glad when the bell rang and it was time to go to the gym. It felt good to run around and get some exercise, I decided. "Basketball today," Coach Rafferty shouted. Oh, it's Riff Rafferty. It's Jody Highroller, shouted as we filed into the brightly lit gym. "Basketball today. Change into your shorts. Come on, hustle. Rap game Coach McGurk." I usually don't like basketball that much. There's so much running back and forth the entire length of the floor. Also, I don't have a very good shooting eye, and I get really embarrassed when a teammate passes me the ball and I miss an easy shot. But today, basketball sounded just right. A chance to run and get rid of a lot of my nervous energy. I followed the other guys into the locker room.
We all opened our gym lockers and pulled out our shorts and t-shirts. At the end of the row of lockers, Howie Herwin kept shouting, "In your face! In your face!" Another guy snapped a towel at Howie. Serves him right, I thought. Howie is such a douche. "In your face!" I heard Howie chant. Someone shouted to him to shut the fuck up. "In your face, man! In your face!" I sat down on the bench and pulled off my sneakers. Then I stood up and started to pull off my jeans. I stopped when I got the jeans about halfway down. I stopped and let out a low cry when I saw my knees. Bushy clumps of furry black hair had sprouted from both knees. And that concludes part one of My Hairiest Adventure by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Hairiest is a adjective that can also describe like scary situations that are like gnarly and stuff. If the kids aren't following, I'm recording this the first time on the new laptop that my girlfriend's dad gave one to each of us that he found while working on a job site. And using the normal like preamp and nice mic, so hopefully I won't get the weird audio fluctuations that I had previously using just the Zoom H1. That being said, everything's going great. Christmas is coming up, and I'm broke as fuck, and that sucks. But I hope everyone likes weird drawings where I trace my hand and make it look like a turkey, because that's what they're getting. You know what they should also fucking do? That was a bad transition. I'll tell you what they should do. They should stay spooky, bitches.